Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the field train and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest and I felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is going to hurt you a lot more than it's going to hurt me. Come to think of it, it's going to hurt both of us, like, really bad. This is Wretched Radio. Prepare to be tortured. I mean, here, a video presentation from a group of liberal theologians at A Call to Christians in a crisis of faith and democracy. Guess what? They fear that democracy is under threat. And so they've written a lengthy, and I mean lengthy, come on, people. This is 2026. Nobody has the attention span to read a long document. Why we write, it goes on for days. And then it includes a number of signatories that are, of course, from a lot of churches that have you and I in them. You know the uni rule. If it has you and I in that order, it's probably liberal. It features individuals like Shane Claiborne. It features Jim Wallace. It features a lot of women wearing clerical collars. Oh, there's the Presbyterian Church USA, not to be confused with America. Do you hear that? There's the uni rule. United, there it is, you and I. States of America Presbyterians, they have veered off of the Presbyterian rails now long ago. You see a lot here from the United Methodist Church. Hey, there's some good news about the Methodist Church. They've gone over 7,000. The conservative denomination that has been receiving churches that have abandoned the United Methodist Church denomination now totals over 7,000 conservative Methodist churches. Hey, that's some good news, isn't it? Let me share with you what their concerns are, and then you're going to get tortured. You're going to listen to, this is so aggravating, the video presentation. No, let's do the video now. And that, see, I'm doing that for selfish reasons, because once I start playing it, nobody's going to listen. And then I can just goof up all day. And then the pressure is off of me. Here we go. Get ready for this video, which is going to sound like it was recorded about 20 years ago when this trend was actually trendy.
We are Christians.
We are Christians.
We are Christians.
We are Christians.
You know, that deal, you know, where you record like 20 people saying the exact same thing and then you cut it together. Hello, 2006 called.
In the United States, speaking together in a moment of political
and moral
and spiritual crisis. This moment demands courage. 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 Because silence
courage.
Is not neutrality.
Silence is a choice. A choice that allows harm to continue.
Our democracy is being dismantled.
And of course, democracy is being... So the people who are saying, we'd like to go back to the original system, which is not pure democracy, by the way, it's a representative republic. So we're the ones who are dismantling their newly invented version of democracy. Oh, that's so galling.
Our freedoms are being eroded.
Our neighbors are being disappeared.
Wait. Jimmy, look, I don't want to be a... you know, grammar person from the Third Reich in that part of Germany in the 1940s, because you can't say the word Nazi.
Yeah.
They're being disappeared. That ain't good grammarly, I think.
They're being disappeared.
Their freedoms. Yeah.
Okay. Now, maybe she misspoke. However, if you go down to the actual document of why we write this... They got bad grammarly there too, because they say the exact same thing. We're facing a cruel and oppressive government. Citizens and immigrants being demonized, disappeared, and even killed. So that would be being disappeared. I think it's just they're disappearing, not being disappeared.
Our faith.
Our faith is being
tested.
It is time for Christians to be clear about who we serve.
When faith becomes a weapon, it stops being faithful.
We refuse to sanctify cruelty.
We refuse to excuse corruption.
We refuse to confuse authoritarian power with divine authority. Our allegiance.
Please note, by the way, what they're lamenting is their perception is that somehow faith is being used to impose particular values onto the government. Now, let's just think for a moment what these theologians are trying to do. Seems to me they're trying to use their religion to tell the government how they're supposed to be acting. Hey, wait a second! If you're even accurate at all, I guess we're both doing the exact same thing.
Our allegiance belongs to God.
We commit to following Jesus' teachings.
So we choose to act.
Now, how do these liberals plan to act? Listen very, very carefully.
Protect those in harm's way.
To stand with immigrants and refugees.
To rebuke racism and Christian nationalism.
To love our neighbors without exception.
To speak truth to power.
To seek peace.
To do justice. To defend democracy. Because every person.
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 Image. Of God.
All right, so there's the premise. Everybody bears the image of God. Therefore, you have to allow illegal immigration. Let's replace one issue with another. This is always a helpful exercise. So if we're going to use everybody as imago Dei, describe that person. Therefore, we need to receive those people. All right, let's just use embezzlement. There are embezzlers that are made in the image of God, and therefore they have rights and we shouldn't put them into jail. You'd go, well, wait, what does imago Dei have to do with lawbreaking? yeah, exactly. But what I find actually quite interesting in this little letter that they put together explaining what they're uptight about is how they plan to go about affecting change. Now, just to make sure nobody gets the impression that I am a Christian nationalist, I've made that very clear that I'm not a Christian nationalist as being defined by the way that the media does. Like, oh, these are the people that just want to take away everybody's rights and impose Christian values. I'm not a Christian nationalist. I do believe that it is best when Christian principles are applied to government. Now, how we get there, I believe it is through the conversion of citizens that then become informed politicians who then go about the business of voting righteously and introducing just laws. Now, they have a problem with Christian nationalism because they're trying to fight to get their way. Let me read the document from the liberals. We're facing a cruel and oppressive government, citizens and immigrants being demonized, being disappeared. That just hurts my soul. And even killed. The erosion of hard-won rights and freedoms in a calculated effort to reverse America's growing racial and ethnic diversity. It's not because of skin color. It's because of law. What confronts us is not only an endangerment to democracy, tired of that, but it's also the rise of tyranny. It is also a Christian faith corrupted by the heretical ideology of white Christian nationalism. Okay, I'm not a Christian nationalist. I don't think they're heretics. That doesn't even come close. I disagree with my brothers and sisters who are. That doesn't rise to the level of heresy. And so, therefore, we represent a lot of different Christians and we call on people to sign this document and do what? Lo and behold, I see the word resist. Oh, they want to be a resistance movement, do they? So they're using their faith to inform their politics and then resist the government. Now, that that has kind of an inkling of actual Christian nationalism. So has these folks, they are, this is so similar to what secularists do. Everything that is this, they make that, and then that is this. Everything that is up is down, that is down, that is up. Everything that they critique, they're actually doing. It's enough to drive you bonkers. And then they have the gall in this particular document to say, we believe in, ready for this, the sovereignty of God. Really, Jim Wallace? Really? That you believe in? We believe in the word of God. And so it is, they are using their religion to tell people to resist. And it even appears to me to impede government officials from doing their job. That to me sounds an awful lot like somebody who's using their religion to impose their values on the government realm. Wait a second. Excuse me. Hold on. Jimmy, is that the cooking down the hall that you've been bellyaching about?
I think that's irony.
I think it is too. You're right. It's absolute irony. Sorry for the torture. This is Wretched Radio.
Your son asked to use your cell phone yesterday, and for just a split second, your heart stopped. And it wasn't because of what you thought he might find. You're careful about that, but because of what you knew he wouldn't find. Evidence of a man actually living for Christ. See, our kids don't care about our Sunday morning Christianity. They watch us when we think no one's looking. They notice when Dad disappears into his office and locks the door. What if your son could actually see a father who's genuinely free? A dad whose private life matches up with his public faith. That's not a fantasy, it's an actual reality, because men experience that transformation every day when they stop trying to manage their sin and let Christ kill it instead. Todd Friel's Play the Man shows you exactly how that works. There's no gimmicks, there's no quick fixes. It's just full of biblical truth about how God transforms men. Play the Man by Todd Friel. It's available right now as an audiobook, an ebook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. Hey, look, some battles, they're just too important to lose.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You ever been sitting in a sermon and your pastor drops a Greek word like he actually expects you to know what it means?
Well, in the original Greek, the word metanoia, and you're just nodding along like you totally followed that.
Well, what if you actually could follow it? Our resource, It's Not Greek to Me, is a basic Greek primer that teaches you to read your New Testament in the original language. It's not seminary-level memorization. It's just enough to understand what your pastor's talking about, to get more out of commentaries and footnotes, and do your own word studies so you know exactly what God intended to communicate. There's 10 lessons. It's perfect for individuals and families and Sunday school classes and homeschoolers or just anyone preparing for a more serious study down the road. This is the language that God himself chose to write your New Testament, and learning it, even the basics, will change the way you study Scripture. It's Not Greek to Me. It's streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. A Good Shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for his sheep. Jesus laid down his life for his sheep. No one can snatch them out of his hand. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If that weren't agitating enough, here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. This is wretched.
This is wretched.
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 Wretched. Wretched.
Wretched.
This is wretched.
This is wretched.
This is wretched radio.
This is wretched radio.
There we did it. Just like the liberals did in their little video right there.
That was tough.
Oh, man. Honestly, when did that? I mean, that was all the rage for a while.
Yeah, it was.
And it was like a couple of times it's like, oh, okay, I see what you did there. But it's so unbearably predictable and repetitious. It's like, oh, could you get up to speed, liberals? No, the answer is no. By the way, I think we might have to do a slight alteration or just a little asterisk to our uni rule. Anytime you see the letters U and I in that order, you probably got yourself a liberal, and I'm looking at all the signatories of this very liberal document, acalltochristians.org. You can go there yourself if you want to be pistol whipped. And I see a lot of unis, but I'm also seeing a lot of councils, C-O-U-N-C-I. So it's not uni exactly because there's a C in there, but it's close enough to make the rule, but it is a little bit of an asterisk. So it's the uni / Unky rule. You see those letters, look out. It's a really good sign. I see a lot of Fuller Theological Seminary, the Prophetic Foundry. Oh, Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration. There was a Roman Catholic group that got together, aided, by the way, what is this about? By an attorney from the Southern Baptist Convention, the ERLC helped the Roman Catholics state that they don't like the immigration policies. Huh? And then I read this, speaking of Roman Catholic, Jerry Johnson. Yeah. Richard Land. I wish he had written more. Richard Land in the Christian Post announced, to my knowledge, I hadn't heard it before, that a few weeks ago, Dr. Jerry Johnson has become a Roman Catholic. Now, if you don't know Jerry Johnson, you maybe remember him from NRB. He was there before Troy Miller. I know Troy, good brother. Jerry Johnson, I believe, preceded him from 2013 to 2019. This dude was a Southern Baptist. I mean, like, whoa. He went to Criswell College, graduated with honors. He then enrolled in Conservative Baptist Seminary in Denver, Colorado. Is that seminary still conservative? Was it ever actually conservative? I've never heard of it. That's all. It's just Conservative Baptist Seminary in Denver, Colorado, where he earned his MDiv with high honors, then went to Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, PhD in Christian Ethics, involved in the conservative resurgence and the Southern Baptist Convention, served as Dean of Boyce College, President of Criswell College, Vice President for Academic Development in Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. And he decided, I think I want to work my way to heaven by petitioning Mary to help me out because I can't get there by myself. But I'm not going to fully believe in grace alone through faith alone in Christ alone. How in the world does something like that happen? I would love to sit down with Jerry and ask him how you can go from grace to works. Because the Roman Catholic system, it is a system of works, not to mention all of the other issues. Yeah, we have some similarities, Trinitarian theology, etc. But so many fundamentals, nothing has changed in over 500 years. How do you go from being a conservative Baptist to Roman Catholic? All right, I don't know for sure, but there's a couple of reasons that I've seen over the years why so many people disaffect, if you will, and swim the Tiber. They want that traditional thing. I want something older than Southern Baptist. Now, if you're a good Southern Baptist, of course, you say you were founded by John the Baptist, but it's a little tricky to trace that. So there's people who's like, I want to be a part of what was the one true church on earth. And I want to be able to trace my lineage all the way back to the apostles, which, by the way, you can't do. You can't even trace the papacy from Peter to probably at least, I mean, being very generous with the Bishop of Rome. This is really generous, and I'm probably going to want to take, well, okay, then I'll just to be on the safe side. Fourth century. Who were the popes? You don't have themselves identifying themselves as such. How is it that a man goes from being the president of Conservative Baptist Seminary? Is it still in business, Jimmy?
Let me look and see real quick.
Oh, I thought that's what you were doing.
No.
You had that research look on your face.
I was looking into him, but I didn't go to the seminary.
What did I say it was? Conservative Baptist Seminary
I believe so. Uh-huh.
Denver, Colorado. I've just never heard of it before. Make sure with your kids that you teach them that they do have a heritage with the one true church, and it is not the Roman Catholic Church. It is the universal church, the invisible church that has existed since Jesus said he was going to build it. He has, and the members of it are not a part of any denomination. They are the ones who are truly born again. That is your ancestry. That is your heritage. There is an itch. I don't understand it. It's a similar itch, I think, to all of the people who dig getting their DNA and their ancestry.com done. They want to know where they came from. I don't know what that itch is. I don't have that particular one. But people seem to, and they like it. And if you don't scratch it for your children, they might just do what Jerry Johnson did. What a bummer. Jimmy, you got the Conservative Baptist Seminary?
Yeah, I think it is still in business. I'm not 100% sure of that, but it appears to be.
How can you appear to be in business?
Well, I'm not finding a website. They may have changed their name. I'm just early in the search. I'm not really.
Oh, I wonder if that's just, it was Denver Theological Seminary.
And now that could have been,
Talk to AI and get back to us.
I will.
I want to say, is it Klein, the theologian that's out at Denver? So that seminary, is it conservative? Well, it leans to the right conservative. Is it as conservative as, say, I don't know, I am? No. But it still leans, I think, at least in that direction. Last time I checked, but it has been a bit. And while Jimmy is using AI, let me tell you about the dangers of AI. Well, this is a headline from the Christian Post. A third of Christians trust spiritual advice from AI. Oh, that's a problem. They get it from artificial intelligence and they think it's just as good as a pastor's advice. And you know what? In a lot of instances, I wouldn't argue with you because it depends on the pastors. Okay, speaking of pastors, I also read that the trust in pastors is it's at an all-time low, that people, they do this somewhat regularly where they ask people, hey, what do you think about this profession? Do you think that this profession is trustworthy? Here it is right here. The trustworthiness of clergy is at a record low over the last 50 years. Gallup's annual honesty and ethics survey, only 27% of the American public rank clergy as high or very high in the scale. And then a bunch of other professions reach the bottom too. Pharmacists, high school teachers, police officers. Well, that's not a surprise. They've been taking a beating now since COVID. Business executives, stockbrokers, telemarketers. So the trustworthiness of pastors is at an all-time low. Where are people going? They're going to the AI machine and they're doing the Ask Jesus, and they think talk to Jesus, and guess what? They're trusting it more than they trust their pastors. 4 in 10 Christians say AI has helped them with prayer, Bible study, and spiritual growth. 442 Protestant pastors were surveyed. 41% report using AI for Bible study and preparation. Not necessarily bad, but if they're using it to write their sermons, then that's a big problem. By the way, a third of practicing Christians would like guidance from their pastor on navigating technology, but only 12% of pastors say that they know what advice to give. I don't know that I would put that one on your pastor. I guess, you know, to a degree, I think that he can say, hey, getting your spiritual advice from AI is really dangerous. I noticed on the AI machine, it even has a notice now. Hey, we don't always get stuff right. You might want to check the facts on important things like your soul. They don't say that part, but that is an important thing. So, Pastor, I guess you could speak out about the dangers of AI, but expecting your pastor to teach the congregation how to navigate, not so sure that that's inside of his job description or purview. Jimmy, what have we learned on the AI machine now that we've just trashed the AI machine?
It looks like it changed its name to Denver Seminary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, not theological, just Denver Seminary.
Just Denver Seminary.
So they don't teach theology? Is that what you're saying? Is that what your accusation is?
I didn't say it.
This is Wretched Radio.